is Iconic, with your hosts JM, Mark, and Nick.
Welcome to Iconic, where we talk about all things 13th Age. I'm your host JM, and with me is Nick.
Hey.
We have a great show for you this week. We are doing another Petri-sponsored review of the new Monte Cook Games Cypher System Rulebook. What is Cypher, Nick?
Cypher is the underlying mechanical system that that Monte Cook Games' previous games, Numenera and The Strange, are built off of. Both Numenera and The Strange have their own flavor or setting built on top of this in those products as well. And Cypher is, you take those settings, you take those other games, you burn away all of the flavor, all of the setting material, and what you're left with is the Cypher system. And if you remember, we did a review of Numenera and talked about what Cypher system is back in bonus episode 9, I believe. So if you want to hear about Numenera and what we had to say about the Cypher system and why we like it so much, you can go back and listen to that one. But it's basically everything that, underlined those other two products just as a book by itself.
Yeah, they kept the core of Cypher, which is, you know, the three-part character creation, the player always rolls, GM intrusions, all of that. And what they've replaced the setting with is chapters that tweak the rules, that provide good GMing advice, that provide overall inspiration for different genres. So instead of a setting, you're getting five different genres instead of just one setting, and the tools to build your own campaign and really tweak the system so that it runs smoothly for you at the table for your specific Cypher campaign. As Nick said, Cypher is basically Numenera and The Strange with the serial numbers filed off and some minor improvements to the system, some revisions to the system that actually we'll talk a little bit about, and I will probably go back and start using, especially like the armor rules, but we'll get into that later. Instead of the three types that you had in Numenera and The Strange, you have four types, and they're much broader. I think Nick and I were, when we were chatting about this, at first glance, it looks like the Cypher system types get more abilities than the Numenera or The Strange, but it's really because the Numenera types are customized for the setting. And so instead of four choices a level, some of those are chosen for you, and the rest you get to pick. Nick, what are the four types that we have in this game?
The four types that we're looking at are Warrior, Adept, Explorer, and Speaker. Like you said, Jam, the four different types I think are a little bit more generic.
Mm-hmm.
So if you look at one of the types in Numenera or The Strange and you liked it and you want to continue using it, but in, I don't know, more of a Western setting, for instance, or as a superhero, you can still build those same types from Numenera and The Strange using one of these four new types.
Well, and the other thing that I really liked about it is you can build for your game multiple customized versions of the same type. So you could have different styles of adepts to reflect different styles of mages in your game. You could have, you know, different types of pre-built warrior types so that you could have your knight and your paladin and your samurai, if you will.
And they encourage you that when you're building your setting and picking what abilities that you want to have those types have access to go ahead and rename them appropriately to whatever your
setting
is. Exactly,
yeah. The other thing that they added to customization that I really liked was flavors. And so flavors are kind of like a descriptor for a type. So you could be a stealthy adept, and each flavor has a series of tier powers that you then replace some of the base type abilities with.
Yeah, I read a blog post, I think it was Gaming Ronin, and how I liked the way that he described the flavors. He said it's basically adding width to the end of your character phrase. So basically, I'm a descriptor type focus with flavor. So I may be a stealthy Jack who bears a halo of fire with technology. And so everything that is encapsulated in the bears a halo of fire and everything else that that the Jack had his access to, it's all going to be technology flavored instead of magic flavored. So I just like the way that kind of added on to the sentence that describes the character.
Very cool. So you get descriptors, a lot of new foci. You do get some that are pulled from Numenera, The Strange, the character option books for both. But like The Strange, where they gave you the lists of these foci are available on these worlds. They give you a generally, these focus are found in these genres. So what was your favorite new one?
For me, it probably would be Grows to Towering Heights.
Yeah, that one's awesome.
I saw that as probably more of a superhero flavored game, but the fact that you can trigger the ability to grow to towering heights, I think you gained a temporary might pool that you can, you know, operate out of, and the higher tier you become, the larger you can grow to the point where you may be 200 feet tall.
Yeah, that one's very cool. I really enjoyed. Doesn't do much. It really felt like I was reading the Big Lebowski's character foci.
And there's a great tool at the end of the book for GMs that they, as you are creating your setting, there's a nice chart that has all of the descriptors and all of the foci available, and you can kind of go through and mark which ones that you do you want to include in your game, which would be helpful to give your players then to know what they can choose from.
That little tool is awesome, and somebody has already put out a form-fillable version of it that you can find online. So, all right, well, let's talk about the genres, because that's kind of where the cipher system really, really deviates from Numenera and The Strange. So you have fantasy, modern, sci-fi, supers, and then horror kind of exists as a genre that can be either by itself or overlaid on any of the other genres. So what do we get in the genre sections, Nick?
They do a really good job of drilling down into a lot of the stereotypes that are built into those genres. You know, for fantasy, you generally know in your mind what you're expecting out of a fantasy setting that you want to create. You know, you're going to have dragons, you're going to have magic. You may have high magic, you may have low magic, and that sort of thing. And they really do a good job of, for each one of those genres, going through and kind of describing what the stereotype is and then how to adapt the cipher system to meet that stereotype.
The other things that they give you are example artifacts, how those work in that genre, equipment lists for that genre, which monsters and foci are kind of your typical fare. All in all, just a great way to do it. I really enjoyed the chapter, especially on superheroes. I've been looking for a much less complicated than Champions, which is kind of my go-to superhero game. So cipher is much, much more streamlined than that. Let's talk about then why get Cypher system. If you don't have Numenera or The Strange and you've been putting off, why would you get Cypher system?
I think that for a GM, it unleashes your creativity. In a lot of other systems, you have to go to the table with a really good understanding of all of the different mechanics involved. What if my player does this, how is that going to unbalance things? You know, those sort of things. You have to keep a lot of the mechanics in mind. Cypher is beautifully elegant in that it doesn't take a lot on the GM's plate to keep in mind of all of the mechanics.
Well, especially you don't even have to, you never roll.
Right. And being able to offload all of that onto the players, I think really gives the freedom to the GM to just focus on the story, focus on being creative, trying to figure out what's going to happen next and how's that going to impact my players.
I would agree with all of that. Now, if you're sitting here and you have none of these and are wondering which one to get, start with Numenera or The Strange. Numenera is going to be a little bit more traditional, if that makes sense. You've got a good fleshed out setting. Everything you need is in the one book. The Strange is also a good intro to the system. It's a little bit more complicated because you have world jumping and, you know, foci shifting. If you already have one of those two or are not new to gaming, like those are really good intro to gaming, you know, for gamer products if you've never done any role-playing games. If you're looking for a generic system, I mean, the Cypher Core book is the first one I would get.
Yeah, it's incredibly flexible.
Yeah.
As I was reading through it, I was trying to think through what couldn't I do with this, and I couldn't come up with anything. Yeah. Not to say that there's nothing out there that couldn't, but just that in my imagination, everything I threw at it was adaptable.
Right. Yeah, no, I would agree with that, and I would say you should even pick this up if you have Numenera or The Strange, which if you have those two and not Cypher, I'm not sure why you haven't picked it up, but there's enough to steal out of there, and we'll talk about some of that in our likes and dislikes. The one thing I will say about Cypher, if you've used a generic system before, it still has the overarching problem of a generic system in the fact that if you're going to play Middle Earth, the One Ring is a better system for that because it was designed for it. However, unlike games like GURPS or Champions, which require a lot of mechanical tweaking to get a game to fit-ish, Cypher's still rules light that you'll be able to adapt that very quickly. Nick, what did you really like about Cypher?
Like I mentioned before, I liked the whole super aspect of everything. I'm a fan of playing heroic characters, and that's part of the reason why I like 13th Age so much.
Mm-hmm.
And being put into a modern setting with superpowers is very appealing to me. So being able to be that champion, have those mind-boggling powers, and then having to deal with the ramifications of that, not only destruction of buildings and that sort of thing, but also I think it'd be interesting to explore the social ramifications of that. You know, getting sued as a superhero. I loved the opening of The Incredibles when they all had to go into hiding because the citizens finally had enough of being saved. That, you know, they didn't want to be saved. But so with the super side of things, they introduced a new mechanic called power shifts, where you gain basically three shifts that you can apply to a number of different areas. And
basically points of effort that don't cost anything.
Right. So if you were to dump all of them into feats of strength, it's very conceivable that you could be picking up a half of a building or a fallen bridge or letting a train run over your back or something like that to save someone. Because what would normally be a difficulty 7, if you got three shifts of power, all of a sudden that becomes a difficulty 4. So what would have normally been impossible is now not that difficult. So I really like that mechanic. And then one of the other aspects in the horror system was another interesting mechanic called, they termed it as horror mode, but I think you could easily tweak that and put it into just crazy mode or Numenera mode or something like that, depending on what setting you're doing. And it's basically allowing for far more GM intrusions than what is normal. So, mm-hmm. Like for instance, once you get into combat, you instigate a new intrusion every single round. So it's a great mechanical device.
So it increases the number on which a non-XP GM intrusion is triggered. Correct.
Sorry. Okay. Thanks for that clarification. I think it's a really handy tool of building suspense in something.
Yeah.
As you are approaching a building that looks suspicious, all of a sudden now those GM intrusions are triggered off of a 1 and 2. You step in the door and now it's 1 through 3, and then you get into combat and it's 1 through 4, and then each round it keeps going up and up and up to the point where you could be giving a GM intrusion every single round. I thought that was a great, great new mechanic. It'd be one that you probably don't want to use too often, but when you do use it, it's really going to create a lasting impression.
All right, so I really enjoyed the power shifts as well. I also thought that the changes to armor, there's a lot of really small changes to the Cypher system, and the one that really stands out to me is the changes to armor. So it's really tough to track in Numenera and the Strange. It's a penalty to your speed pool while you're wearing armor and so many might points off the might pool per hour. In Cypher, it increases the cost of speed effort based off how heavy the armor is, which makes it super simple to track, super simple to adjudicate, and again, pushes it back to the player. Armor was always one of those things in Numenera that I'm like, well, if everything's on the player, why am I tracking how many hours go by for might armor? I also enjoyed the power boost ciphers, which they are ciphers that directly relate to your foci or type abilities. The example they give is going Nova. And then finally, I really enjoyed Insight. Insight is a way for, if the characters are planning, they can declare one thing to be true. So you spend 3 intellect points and an action to declare a piece of knowledge that you either know or observed or set into place. And that doesn't change unless the players take action. So it can't be something huge. But it's like, well, I know if I leave, the example in the book is, if I leave this bottle of booze, the guard will be drunk by 10 o'clock. And as long as they don't kill the guard or shoot the bottle of booze or anything like that, they can count on that fact being established for the game. And I really like that. That gives some player agency and some ways for the GM to kind of work off that and be able to improv around a single point.
Yeah, I kind of saw that as a bit of a reverse GM intrusion. It's a way for the players to you know, they it costs them something, but for them to state something as fact in the setting that they're in,
yeah,
that then forces the GM to figure out how they're going to do with it.
Yeah. Yeah, I like that. And also all the monsters. We didn't talk about that. This is like all the other Monte Cook Games products. The core rulebook has the GM advice, the player rules, and all of the a small bestiary. And they hit a lot of cross-genre monsters, and they hit a lot of, you know, very specific monsters. You're not going to need anything but this book and some character sheets to run the game starting off.
I especially enjoy the supervillain section of the monsters.
Yeah, that was a lot of fun.
And, you know, again, typical of all of the Monte Cook products, the art is just phenomenal.
Yeah.
I wasn't expecting to be struck by this, but I was my attention was drawn just to how inclusive the art was.
So where can you get it? It released the day we're recording this into game stores. So you can buy it at your friendly local game store or through Petrie's web store, or if you're in the Springs or Denver area, drive down to Petrie's, pick it up yourself for $59.99. And the PDFs are available through Monte Cook Games. Actually, so is the core rulebook. You can get a physical copy there. And through DriveThruRPG and the other one bookshelf sites.
Thinking through the three different books or three different product lines that are available, I absolutely love Numenera. The Strange, just for whatever reason, didn't quite grab me, but the Cypher, again, I love it.
Cool. Well, thanks to Cam and everybody at the Petrie's Family Games crew. You can check them out on petriesgames.com.
And if you ever find yourselves in the Colorado Springs area, be sure to look up Petrie's Family's Games.
Well, you've been listening to the Iconic Podcast.
If you have any questions or comments, you can contact us at whitedragon@iconicpodcast.com or call and leave a voicemail at 720-924-1706.
And check out iconicpodcast.com for news, updates, and new episodes.
Thanks for listening.